Hello. How are you? I'm Isawellen, and this is Isawellen Writes Stories for Adults. How are you? It is after July 4th. I have a guest today. I have been writing, and I have been writing and sleeping. I have not been as really ambitious beyond those two things at all. But I'm live, and you can come in and join the chat. I feel like I need to stretch. It is not necessarily super early here. It's like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It's 11 o'clock. But I feel like it's 5. I was awake at 5. I know. Sorry for that big pause, that big silent empty. You're like, why does she do that? You know, at the beginning of the show, I often do that. I'll come in and I'll say hello and then I'll get silent. And just so you know, I don't always cut it off. Sometimes I do, but it is always because I am sharing the show out. I am looking for my guest. Sometimes my guest doesn't get a notification, so I'm going to look for my guest. I'm checking on Twitter. I have people, I don't know if you know. I have 3 Twitter accounts. It's no big secret. I have the poetry account, which is at Lost Darling Girl. I have my professional writer account, which is at Isawellen. And then I also have a very small kind of startup account called At Your Story Aired for this podcast. So a lot of times at the beginning of a show, I'll be really silent and quiet, and it is because I am sharing it out on different platforms. I am sharing it to Facebook, or I'm sharing it to one of those Twitter accounts. Like, because I can't type and talk. See, I'm trying to type and yeah, join us. As I just shared this to Facebook. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful day. It is. It really is. Hello, PBG12E32E4RB9. Are you my guest? If you're my guest, let me know. I can invite you. Are you trying to figure out? Sometimes you can click on one of the chat heads and call in, and other times I have to click on you. They've done a little bit to change the app up, and so I don't always know what I'm doing. I often have technical difficulties, or rather, ISO didn't read the direction difficulties with updates. So when you come in, if you're listening and you want to be a guest or you want to come into the chat, you need to make your own kind of identity profile. You can make your name. Your name can be based on your email or I guess there are several options. You make a profile. just a simple, really simple profile. And then you can log into the app. When you're on the app and you're logging in, if you want to get notifications, your phone usually has that setting, you know, that third party, that phone setting that gives permissions. You're going to want to make sure that your phone gives permissions to the app so that you can get notifications of when I go live. If that's your thing, you don't have to. That's really up to you. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So you want to make sure that those are on or off. And then you will hear about when I'm going live. When I go live, you come in, click on the app, you come in the room. Hello. And then you click on the app, you click on the chat head, and then you can call in and we just talk like we're having a phone call, although you don't have to call the number. So yeah, I'm trying to read and explain things at the same time. And I'm a complete goober. We all know this. It's okay though. So my guest, there are two people in the room with me, and my guest today is L.E. Martin. If I didn't, you know, get confused along the way somewhere, I actually thought I was podcasting yesterday for some reason. I was just, and that was not because it wasn't on the schedule. It was on my calendar. It was all, I got my days just kind of inverted, reversed. L.E. Martin is the author of several books. I believe that she just released her fifth book in the Laying It Bare series, and there are more stories coming in that series. It's a contemporary. We're all contemporary people. It's a contemporary romance. I love romance. And then she's also writing one in a PNR. That's short for paranormal romance duet. A duet is a two-back. Where is my ability to speak this morning? I'm so sorry. Forgive me. A paranormal romance duet, and she's got a release. She's hoping to release this year. I'm really curious to go, you know, is it a big step to go from contemporary to paranormal? Does it feel like a big step? Is it different? Does it feel like you have a different audience? How does that change your characters? Does it change your characters? I don't know. One reason I don't write contemporary is because my characters are a little bit over the top, you know. You're kind of limited in your contemporary romance if you're writing about 7-foot men. I don't know. I'm on. Can you hear me? Okay, I cannot hear you, but I'm going to do this. I'm inviting you as a speaker.
Okay.
Here you are. Now, can you hear me?
I think so. Can you hear me?
I can. So are
awesome.
You L.E. Martin?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. How are you today? Yeah. I couldn't see you before if you were, when you first, you know, in the chat, when you said, I'm on, can you hear me? Because I was looking at your bio, and that's just, my desktop looks like the Podbean app gives me an app with a tab, just like on any kind of, you know, website. And when I click off of it, I can't see a thing.
That's all right. I was just clicking buttons until I got you to be able to hear me.
You did wonder. I know it is
so
a little
there
bit.
We are.
It is a little bit disconcerting. I mean, it's fairly simple, but at the same time, if you've never done it, you're like, what's going on? Am I doing this right?
Oh, even if it's simple, trust me, I will find a way to foul it up, but I'm
Oh, no, I don't believe. I really wish there were little pop-up notices. You're doing it right. Keep going.
Exactly.
This
exactly.
is the right direction to go. I mean, everywhere, pretty much.
Any kind of sign.
Yes, any kind of assignment, sign-in, or emails. You know, I sent an email the other day, and I really want to know if they got it. I thought they'd respond within the first 5 minutes, you know, for some reason. Mm-hmm. And today I was looking, oh, they haven't answered yet. Did they get it? Do I need to send it again? Yeah. But I got no little smiley face. There's nothing saying, I love it when you get that little receipt when you're complaining about something. We have received your email and it is now in the queue. I'm like, oh, okay, I did it right. At least I got it.
Right, exactly.
I'm so reassured with that. So how are you today?
A little crazy busy because I try to do too much in one day and I'm watching my time tick away. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get on, make sure I'm, you know, able to get on at 2 because I don't like to jump on right at 2 in case I had problems. So other than that, and it's very hot here today, very hot again.
you're central, yes, is that right? And it's very hot.
I'm actually over on the eastern side, so I'm in Pennsylvania. Oh. So yes, do get some hot days, but not real often. But today's one of those really hot and humid days.
It has been rolling. It's not, right now I'm doing pretty good. It's only about 85. It'll probably be about it. Yeah, we're slowly climbing to 90, which is good because you know, it could be 90 or 95 at right now, and I'm not ready. I need a slow easing today. It has been so hot this year. It is like scorchingly scary hot, and then the cold winters and everything just seems much. Yeah. Much I need to write a book about, you know, a post-apocalyptic, you know, climate change book. I don't know.
Or something. Yeah, and I don't like complain about the heat because I don't like snow and I don't like cold. So I try not to complain whenever it's 90 plus degrees and humid. I'm like, nope, don't complain. You want the summer. Don't complain.
You want this. Yeah, right, I have a friend. She loves the heat. She just kind of bakes in the heat and enjoys it so much. And I bake in the heat. It actually, even if I'm inside, it makes me a little ill. I'm much better in the cold. I try not to I'm the opposite. I'm trying not to complain about the cold. Yeah. I like the cold. I like cold weather clothing. I like,
okay.
I feel a little healthier in the cold. I don't know. There's something about it. It's easier for me to move in the cold. But some people like the, you know, the heat is nice. It's better for my joints. It's just that. I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. So tell me about what are you, I was looking at your bio. What are you working on right now? You told me you were formatting. So what, that means you have a book coming out.
Yes,
what
I do. Are you,
and you're doing it yourself.
Yes.
Oh,
I do
my
it all
gosh.
Myself. Yes.
I don't think people understand because, you know, there are a million books on Amazon. So that means a million people have made it through formatting and half of them had to take their book down once they got it up because of the formatting went all skewy the minute they hit the publish button. You know?
Oh, yes. Yes. Lots of frustrations with doing this on our own.
And there are applications. And then some people are like, well, you can just go in this app or that app. But it is a really chapter by chapter sometimes kind of. It's not a streamlined, easy process yet.
Nope. It's not. I kind of learn as I go.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do everything on my own. And I actually just recently had someone start doing book covers. I finally let somebody else do that for me because I always had a picture of what I wanted the cover to look like. So my original covers for my Laying at Bear series had something to do with something in the book. It wasn't just, you know, a random hot guy or a random couple. But since that seems to be what's piquing people's interest, not, oh, that's something that might be a scene from the book, I've actually started having someone create my covers and they're looking more like the romance novels rather than trying to stand out. Cause I heard people say, nope, as an indie, you don't want to stand out. And I thought you did. You want to be right in there so they know exactly what they're getting.
Yes. It's romance is kind of, well, anything is a little bit tricky. And I'm on Twitter quite a bit, and in the writing community, there are a lot of people who publish a book, and they you know, it's expensive. You to get things done, you're doing it yourself. You're sometimes you're building up to paying for those covers and other things. And but if you don't know going in how important your cover and the blurb, how many times have you changed your blurb? I mean, do you just get it right and you're like, I nailed it, or
I've been lucky. Some of them I might sit and spend a good bit of time on, but I've been lucky. I haven't sat there for, you know, weeks on end, like some authors, or wrote one and then changed up, like, oh, that's terrible. But I'm hoping they're good. Like, they seem to attract people. So I'm hoping the blurbs are good, but I haven't had too much problems doing the blurbs. Thank goodness.
I'm looking at them. They look good. Just glancing, you know, there's just certain little keys to do for your blurbs that people, it's so important to go within your genre and look at, see what the other people are doing, you know, whether they're published or indie or whatever, like, go look at the top 100 and
that's
see
exactly
how they did
what
it.
I did. That's exactly what I did to find out, okay, how can I do this? Because, oh my gosh, to write, think about when you were in school and you had to write a short, like, book, not a book report, but something, that's it, that synopsis thing. And you're like, you end up retelling the whole book. Like, how do you get that into nice, biteable pieces that, ooh, people want to pick it up just from that little tease? So that's exactly what I did.
And then to leave it as a tease, that last sentence, I see, I'm looking at one, is make it a question to kind of draw them in. And it's a little bit different than if you were trying to, you know, shop a book with an agent who wants everything about your book, everything in one paragraph, in one page. You know, tell me about you. Tell me a little bit about your history. Now tell me about your book, but keep it all in one paragraph.
Exactly.
And tell me also what kind of, how it matches what's out there now and what's trending, you know, but in one paragraph.
Yes.
And I can't, I know you're starting, if you're starting a paranormal romance, how do you do that? Because in anything that has fantasy or that is even in there, you want your book to have, it's more than one thing, right? Sometimes your character has something going on. The, each character personally, there's a personal arc, there's the plot, there's the villain. How do you, I can't, that really right there is the most daunting. That's why I'll probably never pitch for an agent, because
that was not fun. I did that probably 15 years ago.
Did you really?
I wrote under a different name.
Major props, major props. Anybody who even attempts it.
Horrible.
Or does the one, you know, the thing on Twitter, the Pit Mad thing. I'm just, you are awesome.
Yeah,
you can get your book in one line.
It wasn't easy. And then to get all those notes back saying, rejection. Boy, that was hard. So I definitely don't miss that. Would I like to have an agent and not have to do everything on my own? Absolutely. But it was so, if you don't have thick skin, and I don't, it's very disheartening to get those rejections back. You're like, geez, I'm not good enough. Well, that's not necessarily it. You're just not in that top percentage they're looking for. But I took it as I'm not good enough.
It's a very
daunting task, absolutely.
But your books are rated really well. Look at you with the big stars and everything and the great reviews. So
Yeah, the people who read them love them. I just can't get them into more people's hands. Like I can't get others to take a chance on a new author. And I think we're in a really bad time right now too, with post COVID, like I think that's hurting indie authors as well.
I think post COVID, I think it might pick up again, but I've heard that the first couple months of this year even have not been good. Lot of people have seen a lot of dip. If you release a book, you get your month release, your bump, but then it goes down really quick. And so a lot of writers are, do you do this full time, or are you doing other things?
I unfortunately have a full-time job that I have to have because this doesn't pay. So
how do you produce? I don't,
So kudos to the people out there. There are a lot out there like me that do have a full-time job. And
they're doing everything on your own. Plus your marketing, plus your, you know, wow. Are you super organized then?
I think so, because I think I have a bit of OCD. I think that goes with my anxiety. I think that OCD, where you have to have that plan out, you have to have that calendar, That's why you were funny whenever you messaged me about you weren't sure which day it was. If I didn't have my calendar, I wouldn't either, yeah. But I live and die by that book. Okay, this I have to get done today and this tomorrow and then this is coming up. And
it's so funny. I do this. See, my problem is I'm so flighty. I'm such a goober. I do write things down, but I write them down in the wrong place. Or I write the wrong thing down. I will write, I'll think, I've done this several times now, especially with the podcast. I'll think I'm writing who the interview is, mm-hmm. the time zone, you know, my right. time zone. Right. And then I have that little form I have people fill out now. And I think I'm putting all the information down in the right place. And then I'll go back and look and it's not there. It'll be in the wrong month. It'll be in the wrong week. It'll be, and I do that consistently. It drives me. It's one of these, I have a little bit of ADD and so, and then a terrible sleep habit. So I'm not always plugged in all the way. Mentally I'm a nut. And so I don't think I'm always plugged in. I've done that. I can't tell you how many times. It's not as bad. When my sleep was really bad for a while and I was actually taking Ambien and losing time. I mean, literally losing time. I remember I was writing an article for kind of an online magazine. And mm-hmm. what I wrote and what they received, what I wrote in my head and what I sent them, and they sent me back and said, were two totally different things. Oh, wow. That was like an out-of-body experience. There is something to be said, you know, when you hear about the weird Ambien stories, mm-hmm. I thought, nah, not me. And I didn't. First 4 weeks were fantastic.
Yeah.
After that, no. Oh, wow. And how it affected my writing was like,
oh wow,
crazy talk. It was hard.
Now I don't sleep well either, but doing more and more research on being on the computer so much, they talk about trying those blue light glasses because it messes up your
I have them. I don't know how much they help, but yeah, all my
I have some ordered. We're gonna try that and see if that doesn't help get that melatonin level right, because I don't sleep well either.
I bet. Yeah, in front of the computer or the phone mm-hmm. all the day doing the one or the other. So
exactly.
So anyways, now that we've talked about all this crazy stuff, I'm going to get back to you.
That's okay. And this is going to be really bad because I can go off topic too. So we might be on here for like 5 hours until my phone battery dies. Because neither one of us will bring the other one back.
Yeah, there's going to be a little problem we're supposed to be talking about. But we're getting a little off topic. Well, you know, the sleep is an issue. I think writers yes. and people just stress right now, COVID related, work related, yes. family related. Yes. I think women, I'm 50. I think there's a women of and men of a certain age.
I'm about that age too. I'm right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that there's the people that I talk to, I know a few people that, they either had a sleep problem and they mastered it, or they still have a sleep problem. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, and there are various reasons, but sleep and health are, and the connection of sleep to your health and your intelligence and all these other things, it's a huge, it's mm-hmm. such an issue, you know? So I don't mind spending a minute talking about it and letting people know, hey, you're not alone.
Right. Exactly.
we're all there, especially, mm-hmm. you know, how do you sleep? I mean, you're writing and you're working. That's an amazing combination. I know you're older, so you have an old adult daughter, but you're married. Yes. So you have life. Do you have yes. pets?
I do not, thank goodness.
Oh, because pets are like children. And, uh-huh. you know, so therefore you have more responsibility to right. get stuff done. And I know a lot of people who have cats and dogs that will come and lay down across their, you know, want mm-hmm. their attention. They're just as mm-hmm. bad as 2-year-olds. Mm-hmm. So,
thankfully, no. I know they're cute when I see all the pictures. And like I said, my oldest has pets and they're cute, but I can leave them there.
I'm leaving. I'm coming over to enjoy your pet, but now I'm done and I'm leaving your
exactly.
pet there.
Exactly.
So tell me about the book that you're working on that you were formatting on. What are you working on? Tell me. And if it's in a series, start from there. I want to hear about what you're share with my audience, what you're writing.
Okay.
Pimp your book.
My Laying It Bare series. This is actually the sixth book is coming out in October.
Oh, the sixth.
That's what I was formatting today. I'm hoping to get pre-orders in the next week or so after I fight with Amazon. But we're not going to sit here and talk about Amazon. But after we fight with Amazon for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to get pre-orders up and rolling. But yes, my sixth one in that series is coming out in October. And it is actually following a side character from one of my earlier books. I've actually done that with two of them. The one right before that, Laying It Bare in Pre-Med, which actually I pulled that one to read a little bit from today.
Oh, good. Have
time. But that's my one, my latest one I have out now. That actually follows side characters that you met in my first Laying It Bare book. Because it's just sometimes those side characters, the people fall in love with them too, and they want a story about them. So I actually... Mm-hmm. have some side character stories, this one and then the one that's coming out in October. But that's what I was formatting today.
Your side character. So what makes your Laying It Bare contemporary series, what makes it stand out? What makes it stand out?
I've had people say that with the title, that Laying It Bare, not only mm-hmm. does that hint to the fact that it's a steamy series, but it also talks to the characters who finally really bare their soul to the other person. They've got something going on that they have to overcome in their life in order to move on with the person that they met. Like, they're not only dealing with life and dealing with falling in love with the new person, they're also dealing with something from their past or something that they have to move past in order to, get to that happily ever after.
So that ending. That character development and that mm-hmm. little angsty moment of, that's a lot. That's awesome. You know, we all do that as human beings, right? And so that's something that readers, I'm sure, can identify with and see themselves in and do you find your life creeping into some of those things that people have to overcome? Or have you been able to draw from other, other people that
Or others? Yeah, definitely from others. And maybe like put a little spin on it so it's not exactly, but still the angst is there, still those feelings, but maybe in a slightly different situation. But yes, absolutely. Real people do play a role. Not do I have, like some people say, well, are any of your characters based off of someone you know? Not really, but some of the angst are from what I've noticed people going through in their lives.
Yeah, yeah. You're describing the human condition.
Yes.
I like to, even in my fantasy, and I like to sneak that in there. I like mm-hmm. to, with all the kind of ostentatious stuff I tend to love to do.
Well, that's why fantasy's fun.
Exactly. I like to stick a little bit of reality into, and when mm-hmm. things go bad in my books, they go really mm-hmm. ridiculously stupidly. You know, if there's a bad guy, they're ridiculously stupid bad. I mean, there's just no, I'm not right now. I do enjoy nuance, but I also love just, paint with a big, wet, messy brush. So,
But readers like that too.
We're lucky. Readers do like that. So that's really cool. So you got your characters that people are falling in love with, and your side character. Do they ask you? You ever get little emails from some of your? What's happening with this character? He was kind of hot. Or what's happening with her? She's kind of. I identify with her. I like to write about. I like to write about life from a woman's point of view when she's mm-hmm. really young, because that for me personally, in my personal life, when I was 18, 19, 20, I just felt like there was so much potential in the world. And I very much was fantasizing about all these, older men or whatever. That's my thing. And so I liked it, but I've had people, write, could you write about this character? And she's like 30 or 35 and had all these other relationships. She just seems so interesting. And I'm like, Yeah, I could, but that won't be as fun for me. But do you ever have readers, you know, be like, could you, I really like this guy. I want to know more about his story or this girl. Do you ever have them, send you email or on Facebook, just like, hello.
Like for a side character? Like
yeah. Ask about your side characters.
The one that I have out now, my latest one that follows Mel and Toby. Everyone fell in love with Mel in the first book. She was Harley's best friend, and they were like, oh my gosh, we need her story. Like, you got a lot of it in there because they were such close friends, but they wanted all Mel. So they got all Mel then in her own book. But I did have quite a few loved her because she's that best friend that everyone wants, who speaks her mind. Nothing, you know, nothing scares her. She's one that she just grabs life by the balls and goes. So they're like, we want her story.
That's awesome. Tell me, I saw a thread somewhere the other day. I don't know where, if it was in TikTok, Facebook, or Twitter. I don't know. But it was about how somebody was saying, we need more books with that best that show positive female relationships, positive women relationships with friends, and that it's such a unique experience to have that best friend when you find that connection with that person. That we need more books like that that really show that. So, do you think that that people loved her so much because she was that best friend? That best friend that we kind of always really, you know, wish we had, that best friend you can call in the middle of the night. Do you think you plugged into that they wanted, or was it just her attitude?
I think it might have been both, because then you get to see then the flip side in Mel's book. Harley and Shade are part of that book. They're the side characters this time, but that relationship's still there, where they're there for each other.
Oh, see, so, you know, yep, so that's a really, that might be something, you know, that, you know, women's fic, it might, you lifting each other up, yes. Encouraging each other, kind of pushing each other, being honest. Being that one that you can get the Ben and Jerry's with and watch the Netflix, you know, I think they're those kind of relations. I don't know. I have good friends, but we're separated right now, you know, and COVID, after COVID, those kind of friendships, you feel like, did I lose it? Do we still have it? How are we going to, you know, do we need a wine date? How do we handle, you know,
To get back to it.
Are we going to get that? I think that might be something that women of all ages, I don't know. I think that's something to, I've never really explored the best friend angle in my book, because I'm writing in my fantasy books. You'd kind of, it's a little different, but that's neat that people asked about her and kind of wanted her, and you maintain the relationship, and now you're seeing it from a different kind of point of view. That's really cool. I think. So that's what you have there, but you're also, what's going on with the paranormal romance? I want to know more about that.
That is the one then, once I get the one that's ready for release in October, once I get that pretty calmed down and ready to go, I want to get back to finishing up. I am on book two of that duet, and I need kind of the middle filled in. I was writing and writing and then got the ending. So I wrote the last two chapters, over 10,000 words, finished the book, and I'm like, okay, now you need to fill in some missing pieces for me, characters. Come on.
Yeah.
It's not very often. I have done that before, but it's not very often I write the ending before getting the rest of it finished. But I do have a big bulk of the middle to get done with that.
Is that hard to do? You kind of have your beginning and your end, but then you have to go in and fill in the middle. Is that that would seem like climbing a mountain to me personally, but is it, you know, you've got your ending, so you're sad. There's no tension there. You feel like, okay, I've got this.
And then I just have all the questions to answer, because we see them answered at the ending. What brought them forth in the book. So I have to make those connections. So I'm going to actually read my ending and jot down, okay, what would the readers need to know, and hope the characters cooperate with me.
And hope
that's always something too.
Do your characters talk to you?
Most of the time, yes.
Sometimes I'll get really sassy characters. I'll think the book is going one way, and they'll be like, "No, what are you thinking? That's not me."
Actually, yeah. So I have one out now that's not part of the Laying at Bear series. It's a romantic sci-fi, and that one was completely character-driven, and that was the most angsty for me to write because I had no idea what was going to go on. I didn't even know how it was going to end.
Oh.
And I'm the type that if it's not a happily ever after, I don't want the book. I know you run through hell to get to that happily ever after, but I need that happily ever after. I wasn't even sure that was going to come with this book. The characters, they totally took the story, and I just went like followed them. I followed them and finally got to the end, and I'm like, whew, wipe all that sweat from my brow. But that was one that I've never had the characters have that much control. Like, they always have control and, take me on little tangents and surprises. I mean, I like those, but the whole book was surprise, and it was very anxiety ridden for me.
Oh, I can imagine. See, I tend to write a little bit more that way, where I don't know where I'm going. My characters tend to inform the book, and I'll get to this moment where things start to come together, where the world suddenly makes sense and it's whole, and all the loose ends have connected, and I'm like, wow, it's a moment, it happened. Like, so my first book that I wrote in a fantasy series, I had they weren't really loose ends, but there were just little things in the book that just seemed like they belonged in there. And I hadn't planned to write a second book, but when I go to write the second book, I'm like, la da 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 da, and I'm like, oh, it's gonna connect with the first book. That needs to go right here, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, I didn't know I did that.
Woo! Exactly.
And I get really excited. I'm like, who am I gonna tell? Oh, I got nobody to tell. Oh no, because it's gotta be a surprise.
Right, exactly. Oh, I know.
That's the moment where you feel like a storyteller, where all the stuff of your editing and all the things that I do wrong, where I can be in this moment, and the imposter syndrome is just silent because it's come together and it makes sense and it feels like a little bit of magic, and I'm just like, oh, and it doesn't even feel like I did it.
I know.
do you ever get that when with the book where the characters write themselves, do you ever like, did I do anything?
I had no part. I had no part in that. I was just typing.
I just feel like, you guys took over. And do I get any credit for how this turned out? Because it all came together and makes sense. I should get some credit here, but I don't feel like I did it.
Right.
Sometimes it can be such a weirdly spiritual experience. And when you talk to other writers who don't have that, I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. And I don't know that it all comes together. I don't know. And I hate plot holes. Even though I'm a pantser, I write fairly slowly, I think, because I'm making sure that every world or whatever, or everything, there can't be any plot holes. Everything has to come together and make sense. So if the character is, a deeply flawed character or whatever, then I have to have a background that will explain that flaw. And it doesn't matter if it's a bad guy, over the top bad guy or not. Right. I still need a full and complete make sense background in my head. And, or else I feel like I'm missing a step. And, so do you, for the most part, do you make a outline
I
or
do.
How, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a bit of a planner, and like I said, the characters, they've always gone on a tangent and taken me elsewhere. And when I go back and read, I'm like, oh yeah, I like what you've added. That's awesome.
Thank you for that. That's
Exactly.
wonderful.
The Renters, that romantic sci-fi, that was the only one that was pretty much by my pants, and they were dragging me by my pants. But
Oh, wow.
I do a little bit of both. Like I do have that game plan, but I also know that if the characters tell me, no, this is happening, it's their story. So that's what I
Yeah.
go with. That's what I
They
go
have
with.
something to say to the world. I think that is an amazing thing. I think that storyteller thing right there that happens where you're telling somebody else's story and they just happen to live in your head. That's an important gift to give to the world. That's just, even if nobody's seeing your book or buying your book, yeah, people
I
get so
know.
discouraged. But
Exactly.
if you write and that magic happens to you, then you're supposed to be doing this, and it fulfills something. It's got to fulfill something in you to get that, get to hit that moment, of satisfaction. And then if only two people connect with it, sometimes those two people, they connect with it so well, that I'm like, oh, okay, I'm okay. I'm okay. They heard me. They connected with the story. It meant something to them, even though, there's such a, I don't personally actually encounter the disparaging people. There's like a cloud of it sometimes. You'll go if of you trying to break into a community, like, I don't know, kind of a cloud of when you encounter other writers who maybe you take a class or whatever, and it's out of, and all the other writers are writing nonfiction, or they're writing some kind of deep emotional memoir, or they're writing some kind of, family history that has a historical value, and you come in with your romance, and they don't say anything, nobody says anything, but I don't know if we put it on ourselves or if it's out there, but that disparaging, oh, you're just writing romance, thing.
Or
But
smut. I love to hear that. But no, it's all smut. No, it's a good story about characters growing with smut. And smut is part of real life.
Exactly. Oh, which I'm gonna just self plug out here. This month on the 22nd, do you know who Laura Lee is? She started writing with the Laura's Cave back in 2000. She
Gonna
is
say
one
that
of,
name. I've seen that name. I've seen her pop up. I've seen
oh,
books
she
and stuff.
writes. She has written almost, I was trying to count them. I got to 65. I
Oh
think
my
it's probably
word.
closer to 100 books. She's written paranormal. She's written kind of a contemporary dystopian kind of twist. She's got this Breed series that she came up with, that she kind of pioneered, that is they don't shift. They were created in labs, and they are very sexy and very primal, which is how I came across her, because I love that series. But she so in 2000, there was this, you had the historical bodice rippers, where you could, they kind of played with sensuality. You get a little bit, sometimes they get a little bit more steamy, or you get this kind of hint of him pleasuring her in certain ways and going a little bit farther down rather than a little bit farther up. And then it would kind of fade to black, and it was very titillating, but it was more so than what had been before that. And it was written, fiction written very much targeted for women. And you had a sense of that in the bodice rippers, and the men were very strong. They were more alpha males and all that. And then this shift happened when ebooks came out, where Laura and a few others and a few small companies were writing to fantasies, extreme fan, like capture fantasies, BDSM fantasies, science fiction, aliens, werewolves. That's there was no paranormal before. You couldn't, there was, it just didn't, there just was none before 2000, really. It was not a genre, a sexy genre for women. And she's one of the, was one of the, I hate to interview her anyways, because just absolutely changed the whole way fiction worked, and then she went to print, and I watched it happen, which is why I'm very excited about it. You know?
Yeah. Oh wow.
I'm very excited. Yeah. It, you watch it. You watch. So what happened was, you had the print books. Everything was print. No trigger warnings, and nobody complained, by the way. And there were rape in these books. You know, there was straight on non-consent. You know, he rips her bodice, and she's like, "No!" And he overcomes her with it. No. And then she thinks later, "Oh, maybe that was nice." You know, there was there was straight on. I mean, non-consent mm-hmm. in these very definitely fantasy type non-consent steaminess in these books. But there wasn't, it wasn't really as graphic as it was. And then 2000, the ebook companies came out, and women driven. There were some men, but the ones that were successful, which is crazy to me, you know, you think about the industry and men doing all this, but the ones that were successful were owned by women. You know, they, most of their writers were women, most of their, the books that were changing and interesting were women. And so that happened. They started writing to, they made Dracula sexy. They made a modern, you know, mm-hmm. Dracula. They started changing, playing with ideas. They went to way extremes. They tried every, you know, kind of thing in the ebook. And then Amazon came out and started buying up the books, basically. Mm-hmm. They started putting out the books. They made it easier. They had their own. And so the ebook companies tried to compete for a while. And it actually, it's just in the last 5 years that some of them have really disappeared. And then others have come up and with a new business model. But watching some of those authors, those first authors go to print, because then they would get hired by the big companies because they saw it, kind of like the Twilight, you know, and then the 50 Shades phenomena, mm-hmm. how, you know, they wrote the books and then the big companies saw that there was an interest in this and they picked them up.
And then
it was kind of like that. But these books were all before that. And it was, Laura was before, I get to interview her. Anyways, that's my plug for, now we're going to talk about you again. but it just, you know, you're talking about the smut, the smut for women and how it changed and finding it in books, and people might disparaging it. Mm-hmm. But to me, and I come from just the most vanilla background that you can imagine. It's for me to have women writing that for women, mommy porn, I don't care what you call it, is an empowering, positive thing. It's women exploring their sexuality and exploring their fantasies and exploring their desires without anybody's over the top of them saying, "No, you can't do that."
Right.
And if they do, they, you know, you might have that, but they're still doing it anyways. That is, that's my kind of feminism right there. that just blows me away. That is and it doesn't matter what color you are or what language you speak or where you come from, any woman, you know, cause there's so many different women there, who have done that, and then you get the book and you share it with other women, and that's the smut revolution. It's actually one of my favorite hashtags. Yeah. So your smut revolution, and then putting it in a book that has angst and emotion, mm-hmm. that's well written.
Right. You have to have a storyline. You have to have a storyline.
Yeah, that has a storyline, that has a world, that has passion, that has character development. And that's what you're doing. You know, you got this girlfriend and this relationship here and strong personality. Mm-hmm. But you're not like pulling back and fading to black. You're going into the smut, and you're bringing the smut, and still there's some people are like, "Oh, you're right, smut."
Yeah.
And you're like, "Yes. Put your toe
yes,
back.
I do.
I do."
And I do it well
and I enjoy it, and people who read it enjoy it, and if you don't read the book.
Right. There's some genres I won't read, and that's why it doesn't interest me.
Exactly. I'm not going to read a cozy cat mystery, murder mystery, mm-hmm. a cat mm-hmm. murder. I'm not. That's like, or a knitting or sewing, mm-hmm. a murder.
Right.
This is so not me, you know, and that's fine. If you want to write that and have an audience for that, I'm
exactly.
just like,
right.
I actually probably love to talk to you because how do you craft that? I have questions.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There's stuff I don't know about that. Who's your audience? How do you connect with your audience? You know, but that's so neat that you're just like, okay, now why did you always want to put smut in your books? I mean, or was that a developing thing, or was that, you know, cause you've got some books out, you've been writing a little bit, and what was your smut revolution?
It seemed to be where the readers were. So I thought, why not?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. why not? And I found it very easy to add that in to a story that had your angst, that had your characters developing. Well, why don't you just share what they did behind the closed doors instead of having the chapter end and leave it to the reader's imagination? Well, I'll give you my imagination with it.
I'll tell you what happened. Let's go on in there.
Do you really want to know?
yeah. Let's go see what happens. Oh, there was a question there that I had. It's there. It's okay. It was a good question. Where'd it go? and floated away while you were talking about the bedroom scene. I'm like, oh, I want to go in there. No. wanted to put and it seemed to be where the readers, that is it. It was about the difference between erotica and romance, which I have talked about a lot on this show. So I wanted to know, is there a defining thing for you that is the difference between erotica and romance? And since your books are a little bit smutty, have you argued with the big Zahn about it? Or so what is the line for you? What is your definition, the difference between erotica and romance?
You know what? I'm not even really sure, unless it has more to do with getting into those other aspects of the sexual life with the BDSM and such. When you're getting into a lifestyle, mm-hmm. I don't know if those strike me more as erotica. Mine are contemporary steamy romance. Like, I don't think mine are erotica, even though I use, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say some of the words on your broadcast, but I mean, I do.
Oh, you are. Okay. Yeah, we're not safe for work.
And okay. I put pussy in there. I put dick in there, put cunt in there. Like, I use those words. But to me, that doesn't make it erotica. To me, I think of erotica, I think of a lifestyle. Like, if you're writing about the people that are in the lifestyle of BDSM and such, but I could be wrong with that. I just write what I'm comfortable with. May I stem out at some point? Possibly, because I've already stemmed out a couple different ways out of my comfort zone with writing, taking on the paranormal, writing the romantic sci-fi. So I might try that someday down the line, but that's what I think erotica is, but I could be wrong.
My definition for erotica and romance is romance is the journey between the romantic journey of two people from beginning to end. And it could be more, it could be two, you know, reverse harem is a big thing now too.
Yes.
So, it's the romantic love journey of two people from beginning to end, and they have to overcome, you know, character, this, that, and the other thing, but the ending, most readers demand that happily ever after.
Yes.
And erotica is the sensual or sexual journey of one person or more from beginning to end. It does not have to have any kind of romance in it. It is the exploration of, and it could be any heat level, really. The differing definition is really on what the point, the main plot. If you're writing erotica and you're having your beginning to your end is whatever it is, whether it's a kink, because there's a lot of kink-based erotica that explores a specific, you know, the BDSM or cuckold, you know, the cheating or that. And some of it isn't very explicit, but it's still erotica. And it's one person or more person, and it's their journey of beginning to end. It's not a love. You know how in your books, I'm sure, the romance, even though they're overcoming all these other character things, the romance is what it's a big drive on your mm-hmm. beginning, your middle, and to your yes. end. Your yes. climax is usually that point where they're like, I love you. Oh, I right. love you too. Right. You know, that's right. usually your climb. So in an erotica book, the climax would literally be the climax. And
well, there we go.
And that person finding fulfillment or, you know, or not, you can also have erotic horror where it's twisted. Mm-hmm. But that tends to be the climax of this. So that's the difference for that where I've kind of landed. So you're definitely writing romance and you're yes. getting that, you know, you've got that whole arc and a lot of people will think when you write steamy, well, then it must be erotic.
Right. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That it, and you know how Amazon it can be, if you do stuff too soon or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. That you can be put into the erotica category and you're like, what? No, no, that's not what. No.
Right. You know? Right.
Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But because Amazon really doesn't care, they have whole different standards.
No, they do. Yeah,
and none of us know what they are. We're just putting that out there.
Guessing game. Nope, it's a guessing game. It's a guessing game.
But so your paranormal. What is your paranormal series about? How is it paranormal? Where and why did you decide to go into that? Was it because you saw people being curious about other people being interested in that, or was there something in you that wanted to go there?
I actually found a little excerpt on my computer saved. And my daughters, they're more creative for the artsy side, but they do write down some things. I found something saved on the computer and neither of them put it there. And I don't remember putting it there, but on my computer. So that became my prologue and it just blew from there. Because I thought, well, what happened with this little, you know, prologue that she's giving us a little glimpse of something that happened to her in the past and poof, now she's on a totally different road that she never thought she'd see herself on because she had no idea she was a witch. But that's actually, it was playing the, well, what happened game.
Wow. That's really cool. So you're kind of just inspired by this snippet that really spoke to you and you're like, what happened?
And I was like, well, let's just what if this and what happened and keep going with that.
I love that. I love that. That's fantastic.
Into a story between witches fighting with demons.
Wow. And so you're like, well, how did this unfold?
Exactly. What's the connection? Why is it a big deal? Who cares? And it's not over the top paranormal. I did not create a new world like some do. It is demons and witches living in our world.
I always think that's really cool though. For me, that's kind of, you know, how would I, I think that's really neat because then you've got to follow some of the rules of our world, you know, there, you know, with the policemen and the cell phones and this, that, and the other thing, there are certain rules you've got to follow. And
yeah, you can't go blasting your magic in the middle of a mall.
No.
That's frowned upon.
People might notice that even if magic in your world, it changes it. If everybody has magic in the contemporary world, what is that? Well, then there are laws about where you can, you know, there are, magic is an interesting thing to write about. Have you found, were there challenges in writing magic and demons that you weren't expecting when you started?
Yes, because I thought, well, can't you just make it all up because it is made up? Well, then I started getting on and trying to find sites is hard too, that are good sites that have true information. And my daughter actually is friends with someone who does the Wiccan, is that my saying right? Practices the Wiccan. So she's someone that I can talk to also just to make sure, yes, you can put in stuff that's not true because it is made up, magic and such is made up, but it still has to have a little bit of a basis of a truth. It has to be believable. There has to be some sort of fact underlying it. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right.
No, you are, you know, because you're creating, you're working in a contemporary world. So you want to follow some of the laws. So you're like, I'm gonna research this Wicca and see how they do it.
Right.
Because I'm not really, you know, I'm like you. I know very little about their particular laws. And you know, there are different branches and this, that, and the other thing. And so, well, that's kind of cool. That's really, and you knew somebody.
Yes.
That's really neat. That's
well,
neat.
My daughter did. Yeah, my daughter did.
Your daughter did. So your daughters know you write smutty romance.
Yes, and I can't get her to read it. She's like, because you wrote it, Mom. I'm like, but she saw 50 Shades. It was okay to go see the movie. She goes, but you wrote it. I'm like, so, but yes, she won't read it. I even gave her a book. She won't read it.
That's wonderful. I love that. That you're like, here, hon. No, Mom, you wrote it.
Yep,
yeah, but
you.
I'm not in it. You're not in it. We're not in it.
Right. It's not me. It's not me. It's Harley or it's Mel.
No. Yeah, it's not like I'm inviting you into my bedroom.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Just nope.
She won't read it. That's hilarious. My kids, no, please don't ever read anything. I'm not there. I'm so not there yet. I'm like, you know, yay for you, but no, I'm not there yet.
my dad read it and he loves it.
Oh my God. My dad wants, he's like, are you going to let me read it? I'm like, no.
He's not sure about the romantic sci-fi because that does get a little dark. Like it's not near dark. I've read some dark books that are dark, but yeah. I had to put a warning on there that it was a little bit of sensitive dark material. He can't get past that. I'm like, that's okay. That's okay, Dad. You like my other stuff.
Yeah, he likes your other stuff. That's amazing. That's so cool. That's really neat. That's great that he likes that. I've had some men read my books, and some of them are like, "Why do you write about men like these? What do you mean? They're all assholes." That's the bad boy, you know, not the bad boy, but that's the kind of anti-hero. They're not, you know, how can women, do women really love men? No, women hate that in reality, but in fantasy, it's really hot.
Exactly.
No, we would never live with somebody like that. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thrown your ass out a while ago. Never.
We would never be able to. That would not work. I don't think I could do that. But do I like to write about it? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, he's so awful. And I feel so bad for her. And why is she putting up with that? Well, because of this, and this, and this.
Pros and cons. And the pros outweigh the cons. Yeah,
exactly. It's fantasy. It's fiction. This is not.
Right. I'm not writing a how-to book.
Exactly. Oh, please don't. Oh, good Lord. No. I've had to do some research, though. But, no. Oh, gosh. No, I don't want my dad to ever read it. Oh, no. And my stepmother, she gets so upset. Why won't you let your dad? He just cares about you so much, and he wants to support you. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I went that far.
That's amazing. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. That's kind of cool. I mean, my family all knows I write because I've always written. And publishing a book was a big thing to tell them that, you know, that I'm following my dream now, finally. And because you remember me scribbling when I was 9 and 8 and 10 and 16 and, you know, my entire life. So yes, I did something with that, Dad. But no, you can't read it.
But that is on the other aspect, though. My mother-in-law bought one of the books, but she can't read it because she goes, I keep hearing you in my head.
Oh, no.
So she just can't read anymore of it. I'm like, well, you tried. She goes, I hear you in my head, which that's nice that she can hear me in there because that means I'm coming through in my writing, but it's very distracting to her. her.
Oh, I'm sure. But however, that's so sweet. Your family's, you know, supporting you. They're like, yes, we bought your books and we're proud of you. And that's incredible. Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. I would love to hear you read. Would you read one of your excerpts for us? Sure. I would love to hear what your family is reading and
I can do that. I can actually do that from the latest one that I have out now, Laying It Bare in Pre-Med. And as I said, this follows the story of Mel and Toby, who readers met in Laying It Bare with a Friend Request. They were side characters that the people couldn't get enough of Mel, so they wanted Mel's story. Okay, chapter one, and this is actually Mel. Says, okay. Why don't you get the diamond nipple clamps and a wand? Trust me, you will love a wand better than your trusty old vibrator. I pointed to the item in the adult catalog my best friend held in her hands. Harley, since you're not going anywhere exotic for your honeymoon, do something erotic for it. Harley and I sat on the worn maroon couch from our old apartment in our Winter Park home we rented in Florida. After graduation, the two of us, along with our significant others, moved into a modest three-bedroom place. It might seem strange for the four of us to live together, but the way the house was designed made it the perfect arrangement. The living room, dining room, kitchen layout was an open concept, and the rooms were huge. We were able to keep most of the furniture from our two apartments to finish this one. On one side of the house were two bedrooms and a bathroom, and on the other was a bedroom and bathroom with the open area splitting the two sides, which gave us privacy. Mel, lower your voice, Harley growled at me. I doubt anyone is even paying attention. They are too busy deciding what they want to order, too. It's the point of a passion party, Har. You can't tell me you're not the least bit curious to try any of this out. That's not it. I don't want everyone to know I would like to try something out. She hissed at me, a blush blooming across her cheeks. It's not a big deal. That's why they're here. So they won't be judging you. Besides, you're at a party for this kind of stuff. That's because this is my place, too, and you made me stay. I was going to go for drinks with Toby and Shade. She narrowed her green eyes at me. I fixed her with my brown gaze. You know deep down, Shade is excited you stayed for this so that he can reap the benefits and you would do anything for him. Tucking a strand of her reddish blonde hair behind her ear, she beamed up at me. Yeah, you've got me. I would. And I still can't believe he proposed to you on New Year's. That was so sweet and unexpected. And your wedding is in 2 weeks. Harley shook her head. I can't believe he waited that long. He was so patient about the whole girlfriend thing. I pushed my dark hair over my shoulder. He would have never pushed you on the idea. He was glad to be with you. He didn't need a label. He never pushed you on anything. Harley's smile grew. Very true. And he would do anything for me too. He would take a bullet for you, Har, as would I. She was my bestie. We had only known each other a little over 2 years, but we clicked right away. Many times when I made friends, I found out soon enough they were only around because they wanted something from me. My family was wealthy, so I didn't want for anything. Well, except for a true friend. And that was exactly what Harley wanted too. A good friend. Someone to shower her with love, not gifts. She was an only child, and her parents were the worst. So once she graduated from high school, she left home and never turned back. I had great parents, but no siblings, so I hit the jackpot when she came crashing into my life, literally. During her first years of college, she was on and off in an abusive relationship. One day, during our sophomore year, when she was running from him, she collided with me in front of my apartment. Her bruised cheek and split lip sent me into a rage, and I refused to allow her to go back to him. Instead, I convinced her to move in with me that same day. Harley was a sweetheart with a shit family and an ex who was a sorry excuse for a human being and was currently serving jail time for his latest attack on her. Now we had each other, and each of us had a great guy who loved us. I don't know that if I would have met Toby if she hadn't met Shade. I chuckled to myself at how that whole thing transpired. Since they were good friends and roommates in college, when she met Shade, I was extremely lucky to meet Toby, and then we started dating. Man, did he make my heart pound and my lady parts tingle. Decide what you want to get so I can figure out my order, too. I poked her in the side with the sample vibrator that had been passed around, but for some reason lingered in my possession. I laughed. The intent had been so I could continue to torment Harley. Why are you poking me with that? That's kind of juvenile, and something I would expect from one of the guys, Con especially. Her lips quirked into a smile, and she released a giggle. And I would expect it from you, too. I'm surprised you don't have everyone looking over here to see what's going on. Are you saying I'm loud and unfiltered? Unfiltered? Harley raised an eyebrow at me. Because I am. The two of us erupted into laughter. I love you, Mel, but seriously, do you really think Shade will like stuff like this? Or was he just saying that because he thought I wanted to attend your party? He would love anything with you, but I don't know that there is a guy alive who wouldn't love to play with his girl with some sexy toys. I think I'm going to order the vibrating cock ring. I waggled my eyebrows at her. Harley's eyes widened before she took a deep breath. Okay, I'll get the nipple clamps and that wand. Geez, it's a good thing I snagged that job with the school summer programs. I just hope the tutoring sessions and the few camps I signed up for bring in enough money to cover my living expenses and these naughty sexcapades you have me investing in, at least until I start my first grade job in the fall. I clapped my hands excitedly. I'm going to bring that inner sex goddess out of you yet. Shh! She clamped a hand over my mouth. Shade and I have plenty of fun in the bedroom. Oh, I know, even though I can't hear you guys anymore. He freaking adores the shit out of you, but this will be something to liven things up. You won't regret it, I promise. I'm thinking of getting a swing, too. Do you think Toby will let me hang it in the middle of our room? Oh my God, Mel, just stop. Okay, okay. I'll get nipple clamps, too, and save the swing for when you host a party. Harley covered her face with her hand. Let's order our stuff before I chicken out. The two of us headed over to the consultant and sat down at the bar in the kitchen. The other partygoers stood around the living and dining room areas, munching on snacks, sipping on wine, and chatting and laughing. I had invited a few of my coworkers, a couple neighbors who were pretty cool, and of course Heidi from college, who brought two of her friends with her when she and the guys made the 2-hour trek down here to visit. Perfect timing. The last one finished a few minutes ago. The consultant pushed her straight blonde hair over her shoulder and smiled at us, her blue eyes twinkling. Mel, you made enough already to earn 2 free gifts, and some people might order online even after the party, and a few that didn't attend might order also. That happens often with these things. Many people still worry about the stigma that comes with liking a bit of kink, so they don't want to draw attention to the fact that they buy into it. Well, I'm glad the party is a success. Thank you, Tabby. I glanced over at Harley for a moment. Can I get 2 pair of the diamond nipple clamps as my free gifts? Mel, don't use your free stuff on me. I know how much you love this kind of stuff. It will be my early wedding present to you. Can you get us each an order form? We are both ordering something also. Harley rolled her eyes at me. I will not be opening that in front of everyone at the farm. A laugh shot out of my mouth. Holy shit, I didn't even think of that. No, you can have it as soon as it comes in. I'll get you something more audience appropriate later. Tabby chuckled at me. This has been a really fun party. I can't believe it's your first one. You were totally into it and so comfortable with everything. It usually takes people some time to warm up to the idea, but you were hot right out of the gate. I'm kind of sad it's winding down. You had a nice crowd for your first party. 11 attendees? Not too bad. Although you may have a hard time kicking the rest of the people out. I'll just tell them we ran out of food and wine. I grinned devilishly. But thank you. Not much embarrasses me or makes me uncomfortable. This is very true. Harley bumped her shoulder into mine. Tabby handed the two of us order forms. Once they were filled out and checks written, Harley and I walked around to mingle a little bit more before we politely hinted we wanted to start cleaning up. Shade, Toby, and the guys from college were hanging out at a bar, and we were anxious to join them. Standing over near the picture window overlooking our backyard, my friends from work were huddled together laughing. Lydia turned at our approach. Thank you for inviting me. I had fun. I've never been to a passion party before and wasn't sure what to expect. She tucked a strand of her strawberry blonde hair behind her ear. But really, it was just an enjoyable get-together with sexy toys instead of kitchenware or something. And it was nice to get to see some of the toys rather than just view them online to see if there'd be something I'd like. Sammy's blue eyes twinkled with humor. The hubby and I just started experimenting with toys, so this was fun. You had a pretty nice turnout, Mel. Now, Sammy is the diver, right? Harley's green eyes bounced between Lydia and Sammy. And there was someone else with you guys. Yeah, Summer had to take off. Her babysitter was only available until 8. But no, I'm a dive lead, so I supervise the divers more than I actually get to dive, Sammy answered. I love being an Aquarius like Lydia, but man, I would just die to be a diver. I couldn't help the dreamy tone in my words. But I was incredibly lucky to get hired at Sea Life at all, right out of college. So maybe someday. You're awesome there and management loves you. So look into some training. When a spot opens, you'll have a good chance getting it. Sammy brushed a strand of her black hair from her cheek. We have to head out too. We had so much fun and you probably want to start cleaning up. So we'll get out of here. When do you work next? I'm off tomorrow too and we'll be back in on Sunday. Thank you for coming and spending money so I can get free stuff. I rubbed my hands together. After Lydia and Sammy hugged me goodbye, the two of them headed across the room to our front door. Thankfully, we had wooden floors, except in the bedrooms, for easy cleaning. Our friend Heidi sat on the black leather couch opposite our huge flat screen with her two friends, Daniela and Amber. The couch easily sat 6 people, so we plopped down beside them. So when do you guys have to head back home? I'm so glad you guys made the trip. I propped my feet up on the coffee table. I think we're planning on visiting some of the attractions tomorrow and then heading back early on Sunday. We had fun, and it was nice to see you guys again. Who knows how long we will be able to stay in touch. You know how life gets. Besides, Tucker told me to buy whatever I wanted, Heidi giggled. And Con wants to hear all about our purchases and what all we got to sample or touch in detail when we meet up with them tonight. Amber could pass for Heidi's sister. They both had the same shade of red hair and an adorable girl next door look. Only Amber's eyes were blue and Heidi's were hazel. Con has a thing for redheads, I warned. He's a great friend, but he still hasn't figured out the best way to treat a woman. Now, don't get me wrong. He's great in bed from what I've heard and is respectful. He's not a big douche or anything. He's upfront about what he's interested in. But if you're looking for something serious, he's not your guy. I thought Con had a thing for anything with a pussy. Harley quipped and then slapped a hand to her mouth. It took long enough, but you have finally rubbed off on me, Mal. Ah, my apprentice is becoming a master. I elbowed Harley in the side. I don't know if I'll dip into that. He may be an excellent lover, but I would have a hard time hanging out with you guys afterward. It'd be awkward. So I'm glad his preference isn't dark. Daniela pointed to her hair. We're going to head to the bar. You two are coming, right? Heidi fished her phone out of her purse. I'll let them know we're on our way. Once we get things cleaned up, we'll be there. Harley gestured around the room. It shouldn't take us too long. The dishes are disposable, so once we sweep the floors and clean up the tables and kitchen, we'll head out too. After rising from the couch, we hugged before the three of them headed out. On our way over to help Tabby load up her supplies, we stopped to talk with our neighbors. I'm glad you guys came and aren't too embarrassed to hang around me. I smiled at Luna and Bailey. I hope Felicia and Henley aren't upset we didn't tell them bye. I didn't even see them leave. Bailey waved away my concern. They didn't want to bug you. It's not like you had ignored them completely. You were a gracious host, making introductions and talking with everyone while Tabby showcased her goods. She giggled. Well, that didn't sound right, but it did blend nicely with the theme of the party. And you made sure everyone had food and drinks. They had fun, too. They just had to head into work. Well, I'm glad you guys were able to make it. Harley and I hugged them by before helping Tabby get the rest of her supplies collected. Once we were the only two left in the house, we plopped down on the couch for a moment. This party was great. I've only been to one before, and I think the hostess was incredibly uncomfortable, so it made things kind of awkward for the attendees and the consultant. But I'm glad you stayed, too. I like sharing things with you. I wrapped my arm around Harley's shoulders as we leaned back against the cushions. We shouldn't get too comfortable, or we won't be going anywhere, and this mess won't get cleaned up. She twisted her head to gaze up at me and raised her eyebrows. But I suspect there is more coming after your comment about sharing things. Do I even want to hear this? Popping up from the couch, I tugged Harley with me. Let's get cleaning and I'll share my ideas with you. Harley groaned and I snickered. We decided to take care of all the garbage first before wiping down the dining and coffee tables, counter and bar. While I scrubbed the dining room table, I smirked over at Harley, who was busy scouring the bar. Would you and Shade like to have a date night with Toby and me at the apartment? We can watch a movie, get naked. Harley's eyes almost popped out of her head and her mouth gaped open. Take a breath there, Har. It will spice things up for you two. And you don't have to watch, just focus on Shade. Although I might watch you guys a bit. I snorted to myself. I love getting Harley all riled up with my uncensored comments. Oh my God, just when I think you can't possibly shock me with what comes out of your mouth, you do. I wouldn't even know how to begin suggesting that to Shade. She slapped her rag to the bar and tilted her head at me. Or how to even initiate that? So what, just start making out during the movie with the two of you sitting in here too? Actually, that's pretty much all there is to it. I finished up the table and joined Harley in the kitchen. And don't worry, he'll join right in. Once you start grinding on him, honey, he won't care if there is anyone else in the room, especially since it will only be his best friend and girlfriend. I've never done this before, but I've always wanted to, just not in front of a bunch of strangers. This way it will be hot, but comfortable, because we're all great friends. Come on, Har. I rinsed the rag in the sink and then set it over the edge to dry before washing my hands. She did the same with her rag and hands and then eyed me curiously. So you really think this is a good idea? It's not going to end up making things awkward between us? I shrugged. Only if we let it. I can pretty much guarantee the guys won't think anything of it. Our living room is large enough that if we sit on opposite ends of two couches, we'll hardly notice the other couple. Hell, less than 3 seconds in, I won't remember you guys are here at all. I waggled my eyebrows at her. Come on, bestie, I'm excited. I'm getting a little tingly just thinking about it. Harley shook her head. Me too. Then her cheeks reddened. Don't laugh. I can't believe I'm considering this. You are a bad influence on me. You're lucky I love you. We both erupted into laughter. Once she calmed down, she tugged her hand through her hair. I find it hard to believe you never did this before. What about that time in the school gardens? Although I guess no one was probably around. I snorted. Oh, we both had an awesome orgasm, but we didn't have sex. I didn't want Toby to get into trouble. He wants to be a doctor. I won't ruin that for him. He was working so hard on that. He had graduated with a 3.9 grade point average, had been putting in countless hours shadowing, and was working part-time as a stalker at the hospital to make sure people knew who he was. I was so proud of him and missed him. I had hoped that once we graduated, Toby wouldn't be as busy, at least for the summer before he started medical school. But he was such an overachiever, and I loved him for that. I really did. But we didn't get to spend as much time together as I would have liked. If we didn't live together, I would see him even less, so I was thankful for that. But like Harley always reminded me, it would work out in the end. He'd get his dream job, and I already pretty much had mine, and I had him. So your antics do have boundaries. Why am I never on the receiving end? Harley rolled her eyes at me. I just make you do things you don't want to do, that you want to do, but otherwise would not if someone didn't push you. Admit it. She sighed. You're probably right, and you love to push. Hey, we need to get finished here or everyone is going to be gone by the time we get to the bar. After grabbing the two Swiffer mops from her pantry, I handed one to Harley. Oh, baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle? I belted in a pathetic Maren Morris voice rendition. I didn't even try to pretend I believed I had a shred of singing talent. She chuckled as she shoved me away. Since the living area was so huge, we bought two of them and usually both of us mopped at the same time. The guys helped too, but since this was my party, it was up to us girls to clean up. When we were finished, we fixed our makeup and hair and then headed out to my light blue VW Bug. Once we were headed in the direction of the bar, I turned to Harley briefly. Now don't tell Shade what we have planned, and I won't tell Toby either. We'll surprise them. It will be so much better that way. She eyed me like I had lost my mind, but still nodded. My excitement grew because it promised to make for an incredible night. What a great way to keep things hot between Toby and me and draw us even closer. And that's the end of chapter one. Sorry, I write long chapters.
No, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I want to know, have you been to one of those parties before?
No, I have not. So that was another research.
I'm like, wow. Did you go to that party?
I have been to a swingers party before. Didn't participate, but just for curiosity. But no, I've never been to one of those. So I did have to do research there.
And their relationship, you're right. It is amazing. Oh my goodness.
I really enjoyed it.
They have such a great interaction with each mm-hmm. other. And I learned so much about the party. And not, I'm thinking, could I do that virtually? No, I don't think.
Then you can't touch it or poke your friend with the vibrator.
Exactly. Yeah, then you can't
There's
be like,
no fun. Boink, boink, boink. There's no fun in that. If you can't poke your quieter friend with the vibrating.
Just anything. I visited I think Adam and Eve store here, and okay. I've never been in one before, and kind of I was just curious. It was okay. It was classy. It wasn't too bad. And then you walk around the corner where they have stuff kind of tucked away from the windows, and mm-hmm. then I'm like, oh no. And
I haven't been in an actual store like that. Like I've been in like our Spencer's that has some stuff.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Not as fun. Like I think I'd like to go just to say I've been to one.
Yeah. And it was a pretty big store. I mean, I think they even have bigger ones that are like 3 floors.
Oh my word.
Well, you know, they have the clothes and then they have the toys and then they have the books
equipment.
And then they have, the whole equipment thing. And I guess, I don't know, you know, but I had never been, it was kind of a challenge for myself, you know, I'm a big girl. I didn't do that. I'm going to go in this store and look at things and not like dissolve into embarrassed laughter.
My cheeks might turn pink because I have no control over that, but it's not because I'm embarrassed because like I'm not. I shouldn't be. I write the stuff. I read the stuff.
Yeah. No, I was okay with the clothes. Some of them were really cute. They weren't, you know, and they, yeah, but there was one area of the store I was like, and even looking at the toys that were specifically geared towards women. And, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm curious because some of them are such interesting shapes now.
Yeah.
The shapes, they look like space aliens.
Yes.
And so I was like, but I can't, you know, if somebody had come over and asked, do you have questions? I would have been like, no.
I'm not doing quite. Just fine. I'm just looking.
I'm just curious. I'm just looking. I picked one up. I touched one. I'm really mm-hmm. proud of myself. And mm-hmm. then I left. Yeah. When I say vanilla light, it's much easier for me to write it than it is to. And I've talked about, never mind. I'm not going to go there. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on. I really enjoyed your chapter. Wow. That was really amazing.
Thank you.
I'm glad you read the whole thing. The just the relationship between the characters, the party, talking about challenging, you know, let's do this together, you know, and being young. Mm-hmm. And I really had that sense of their age and gosh, I wish I was 20 sometimes, but
I know. I don't know that I want to go back and redo everything.
Yeah,
I
know.
I get that too. I'm like, ugh, would it be nice to be young, but
you
I really
get a time machine where you change and you could just go for a day, but not lose,
okay. mm-hmm.
you know, you'd still have your kids and whatever, but mm-hmm. there were just certain instances that I'm like, I wish I could relive that.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish I could do that a little bit differently and have a lot more fun because I had an opportunity there and I did not take it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And for whatever reason, I wish just one day, you know, but so your book gave me that though. I mean, it's like, oh, they got this cute relationship and they got their boyfriends and they're like young and starting out playing with toys. And I do. Are you kidding me? When I was 20, toys was.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
25? No way. Are you?
Exactly.
One of my friends, I had a friend come on, and she is our age, but she was talking about, she wrote an article, How Women Are Not Coming is the name of her article. And she was basically aiming it at the younger generation to take control of their orgasms.
Oh, okay.
And it was a powerful article to me because I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, why are you waiting on some guy and why are you letting him get mm-hmm. away with not, you know, mm-hmm. having that connect? Why are you? It was a great conversation. Anyways, yes, I'm digressing again. Thank you so much for coming on and
Thank
reading
you.
And talking and sharing about your books and listening to me yammer on your interview. My little commercial for Laura. Yeah, but I really enjoyed this and I know you got a book coming out, so I want to get this to you. I'll try and get, I have actually a couple before you that I need to post. So,
okay.
But I will get this to you, or maybe I'll let you know.
Okay. Yep. Nope. That's totally fine because I've got plenty of other stuff filling in and
good.
And it's not good. Like this didn't really talk about the one coming out. This was.
Oh, do you want to? Do you want to do a plug are you good?
Because then this could just be, I am still advertising, still promoting my first books because I don't have, because I want to gain more readers. So that's perfectly fine because then this will just fit in with that plug with.
You got
the Laying It Bare series. Read them all. You don't want to just read one.
Yes,
you want them all.
I mean, seriously, because you have the relation. You got to go and know. Now there are all these characters. You said they've been at the party. Well, what goes on with that character, with that couple? Yeah. What's this guy doing? Is he going to settle down? I want to know. Is he going to find his?
Khan is the other one. I briefly mentioned him in here. He was in my first book also because he's part of that circle of friends when they were at college. Then these four moved for jobs, but they still keep in contact with him. But Khan, he would be an interesting one to
get
because whenever they're out together at the bar, you see it more in the first book, not so much with the second book, but he's a little bit of a pig. But he would be an interesting one to find out who settles his little ass down.
But he's one of the friends and he's, so they're all putting up with him and stuff and they love him anyway. Well, that's cool.
Yes.
And why is he a pig? Is he just a pig because he can be a pig or was he hurt badly? He's deflecting.
So he would be
Yes. Well,
possibilities.
No, that's cool. That leads to, I'm like, I want to know. I want to do one of these things where I get to interview the characters one of these days. And the author
like
has to be
J.R. Ward does?
Yeah, wouldn't
she
that be fun?
She is something. I know, we're going to get off on a tangent again, but I do love paranormal romance. I read more contemporary, but she, I love. Like, I just love her. I love her books, but her newsletters where she interviews her characters and they give her shit. It's awesome. I'm like, seriously, you're sitting down having a beer and Vicious is just tearing you a new one.
Oh, love no, I it. Didn't. I why do I not have this woman's newsletter? I didn't realize that Vicious. Oh my goodness, all from, the old.
From her Black Dagger Brotherhood.
They live in her head. Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's really cool. Seriously. Yeah, that would be so fun to do it.
I love that. I love that with her. I'm envious of it because the characters live in my head while I'm writing the story. But then again, I don't do it full time. So they can't live there all the time. But she's phenomenal. Like, oh my God.
You guys
gosh.
Need to sit over here. I got to work today. No talking to me while I'm working. Don't quiet. Don't tell me. No. Uh-huh. I can't write that down right now. Be quiet. Don't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, goodness. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
And you have a great day. And I will get this put. I'll let you know. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Yep. No hurry with it. I'll watch for your message on Facebook.
Fantastic.
I do have to ask, will this just end whenever you end it, or do I have to click something? Because we know I was just clicking.
I am gonna. I will end it for you. Okay. I will click it and
I'll just close out of it, and it should be
And okay. You just say goodbye, and I'm just gonna say goodbye. Thank you, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, yes. Goodbye. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Okay. So did I. I really did. Oh, there she goes. I clicked it too soon. So I just push a button and you go poof. Well, actually, I have to click it twice now. Tin Man, yes, I can hear you. Hi, Tin Man. Thank you guys so much for listening along as she read. I love when authors read. Wow. And when they start to get comfortable and really just, and the book starts coming to you. And there was some good stuff in there. She's really a writer. She's a writer. She's a storyteller. You guys need to go check out these books. I'm curious about these characters now. Thank you so much. There's so much just in the girl-girl relationship. the empowering moment in that, and the way they encourage each other, and it's an erotic, it's a sensual romance, but there is story there that women can relate to, that they can escape in. If you've never had that friend, books are so good, people. Books are so good. Go buy a book. When I post this, all of her links will be in the kind of information section of, but when I post it, you just click on the podcast and usually there's a pull down section. You can look on whatever streaming service you have, so you can follow her links and go get some books. Have a good day.